Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather, and tonight the big story is dangerous heat out west and across the state of Texas, and the deadly heat will continue for most of the week. 117 in Phoenix, 108 in Fresno, Dallas at 104 today, with severe thunderstorms pressing southward toward the Metroplex. The California heat wave has another really bad side effect too, making wildfires even worse, drying out soils and the potential fuels, with now 12 states fighting near uncontrollable wildfires. Plus, we have a severe thunderstorm watch tonight from Omaha to east of Denver. Warned cells in Nebraska pushing into Kansas. Locally heavy rainfall, vivid lightning, gusty winds. And behind the front, a new air quality alert for Denver tomorrow. What's your weather tomorrow? More quiet across the country, thankfully, but still very hot and many areas in need of rain. Showers and some thunder, mainly along the I-95 corridor from the Carolinas up to New England and all of the state of Florida. Scattered showers for the eastern Great Lakes along the Texas Gulf Coast, and that should be it, and just very hot. And the worst weather of the year was just 6 nights ago. That's next. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
This is a good one. Matches your eyes. Okay, close. Stay like that. Don't want it on your teeth. Okay, now mush them together. Do you think I look older? I think you look like a model. What if he can't get one good photo?
And he is a lousy ass photographer.
You're really beautiful.
Look up.
I think I'm just nervous. Do you think what I'm doing is crazy?
You want to do it? You do it.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
You'll enjoy being a guy, having a girl like me.
Well, as you can imagine, it's very exciting to be with you. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sunday night. You and I are live together, driving across the country, going to the Outer Banks, going up to the Northwest country, driving across Route 80 in our 18-wheeler. This is the exciting time of the night because it's sweet. The people in the car with us are asleep, thank God, and there's nobody with us in the cab. We get to drive in the 18-wheeler as far as we want, at the speed that we want, because there are no cops out. Are there any cops out? I don't think so. Now, when you and I talk on the phone tonight, two things can happen. You have an opportunity to win a real prize. That's right, a real prize, not just a prize announcement, but an actual prize from Velo Hool. Velo Hool, our fish expert, has provided us with a real prize. But in order to do that, you have to guess the mystery voice, and I will share that with you in just seconds. But first, then if we're going along and talking with each other and you annoy me or bore me, you're going to hear this. Why didn't we hear that? It's not that well done a show. It's not.
Get rid of it.
Here,
dude. I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
Mike Lindell will dump you. That's right. If you annoy Mike Lindell, you're gone. Oh, look at this. You see this? This connection here to this computer is loose.
Easy. Get rid of it.
We'll try it once more.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
I could just do the whole show like that, right? Could we just do that? Wouldn't that be good just to hear that? I think so.
I just think that you said it just to be stupid.
You and I get to talk at 888-688-WALT. Why give the phone number if there's no reason to call? I know. I'll give you a reason to call. One of the things that nobody discusses about the pandemic and the COVID and the 22 is the fact that when we're stuck in the house, we become hyper aware of our neighbors. We become super aware of the behavior of our neighbors. It may even make you paranoid. You may think they're spying on you when they're not. You may find it unusual that they come home at 2:38 in the morning and then act as though everything's normal the next day. But the fact is, we learn things about our neighbors we never knew before. Isn't that right? We never knew most of these things before about our neighbors. You know when you get on the airplane and there's a guy who sits next to you with Tupperware, and that looks innocent until they open the Tupperware, and then you realize that Tupperware is filled with the most mysterious, smelly food in the world. You have no idea where it comes from. You have no idea where it's supposed to be going, but you don't want it next to you. It is worse. Than the person sitting next to you with the baby. The smelly food is worse than the person sitting next to you with the newborn kid. They open the cheap Tupperware. There are two kinds of Tupperware. There's the expensive, sturdy kind that your mom had, and then there's this new kind that's very flimsy and doesn't look microwave happy. They open up this microwave unhappy Tupperware, and oh my gosh, what is that smell? And it permeates through the cabin, SAT word, permeate. It permeates through the cabin. Oh, my God. All right. You used to come home, and there was sort of a nice aroma from the next-door neighbor, apartment or house, a nice aroma. They were cooking dinner. You felt you were at a home. You felt you were in a community. Well, now that you're sitting at home all day, every day, you realize that they are making whatever that is all day, every day, and it's horrible. You don't want to know about it, but all you can envision is shredded beef cubes, peas, carrots, and a strange gravy that has ingredients that are unidentifiable. Then on the other side is the dog. The dog which seems to be barking all day even though they're all home. Those are the two things that I found out about my neighbors. They're always cooking some horrible thing, and they have the dog. Sorry, I'm fighting with my throat tonight. Have you learned anything about your neighbors? Have you learned anything you'd better not know about your neighbors, something that you find repulsive about your neighbors? I'd love to hear. My number is 888-688-WALT. That's my name, W-A-L-T. 888-688-WALT. 9258. You will get a chance to guess the mystery voice. Let's find the mystery voice for you now. These are very complicated things that we have to do here. Now, let's see. Yeah. The jack to the computer is loose, and you may think, well, you know, why can't you figure that out before it goes on the air? I don't know. I hear worse things by bigger announcers. Just a second. Let's try it again. Son of a gun. Huh. Well.
Right. And like a monogamous relationship, you can have problems in any kind of situation.
Who do you think that is? If you guess that right, when you call in at 888-688-WALT, you will get a mystery prize, which will either be a prize announcement or a real actual prize.
What happens when you're in an open relationship? How do you navigate that? What can go wrong? What can go right? And like a monogamous relationship, you can have problems in any kind of situation.
I'd like to hear about your challenges in dealing with your neighbors during these troubling times. And then in just seconds, we're going to talk to the vice president of the Postal Carriers Union, who will share with us secrets of the post office. No, really, secrets of the post office. That's coming up in seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hul of Muskegon, Michigan. amazing news from my fish room later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, if we're going to have all these drunk guys in Florida on riding lawnmowers on the side of the highway, why not just let them engage their blades and mow the place for us? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
I'm Walter Sterling. Right now, I want you to go to the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page and you will see a video of my head. Now, there's a dream come true, a video of my head. But what you're going to see is, compared to the video we posted last week, I have more hair this week. That's right, Keeps.com, Keeps.com, K-E-E-P-S.com, sells prescriptive medicine to restore and replenish your hair. It comes from a doctor. When you go to Keeps.com, a doctor has to determine which prescription and dosage is right for you. You take these prescriptives, and what I have found for me personally is that my hair starts to grow again and I stop losing hair. Now, what's it worth to you to stop losing hair? You go to the website, keeps.com, keeps.com, and you will learn all about these products. By the way, a nice thing about the website, it's a beautiful website, elegant, clean, really nice website. You go there, you learn about these products. Then you say, okay, I'd like to get keeps.com products. You will be put in touch with a doctor who will communicate with you for about 30 seconds to determine if these products are right for you or not, and then they'll be sent to you. And then you can experience what I've been experiencing. I can't guarantee it, but what I've been experiencing is that I have fuller, lusher hair, real hair. K-E-E-P-S.com. Now, if you go to the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page, Walter M. Sterling, the Facebook page, you will see a video of my hair a week ago and a video of my hair right now. There is a change. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in a month or 2 months. It's going to be spectacular. KEEPS.com. Put in my name, Walter, and get 50% off. 50% off. That's Keeps.com, KEEPS.com. Why lose any more hair?
Sterling on Sunday.
This is some business. Let me tell you, the New Deal Shop. TheNewDealShop.com. That's the name of the website. You go there, and it's a store filled with amazing things, really interesting new products, including what you're going to buy anyway, the KN95 masks. You're going to buy masks anyway. You might as well get them from a reliable source that your friend Walter says is the right place to get them. The KN95 masks are at The New Deal Shop. You're going to see a lot of great products there. The hot one right now are the masks. The KN95 masks that first responders wear. Get the best masks for you and your family. Go to The New Deal Shop. That's the name of the business. The New Deal Shop. Put in the name Walter and get free 2-day shipping. This is
only a test. Can you guess the mystery voice? Sterling on Sunday.
Charlie is a high-ranking official at a postal carriers union. He also is a number one fan of Sterling on Sunday. It is a great pleasure to talk to you, Charlie. It seems as though the United States Post Office is at the epicenter of all news coverage all of a sudden right now.
Hi, Walter. Yeah, we're out there every day. We deliver to every home and business in the country. So you're going to see the letter carriers out there delivering the mail, delivering the medicine, delivering the packages for the people that don't want to go to the stores. We're doing it all right now. So that's what we do.
And you've been doing it since the beginning of the virus. Now, what's interesting is that the average letter carrier walks 7 miles a day. Many people don't realize how much you have to walk, 7 miles a day. Now, there are some questions about the post office that we have, and I'm going to share them with you. But here's the interesting fact. There's all this hoopla right now about, oh, we have to save the post office. It's losing a fortune. It has always lost a fortune. No matter who the postmaster is, it has always lost a fortune. There have been many creative ideas. What most people don't realize is the key function of the post office, the key feature of postal letter delivery, is it is against federal law for anybody to open that mail. I can open a FedEx package, I can open an Amazon package, but it is against federal law to open U.S. mail. Is that right, Charlie?
That's correct. And if I'm sitting eating lunch in my truck and I see a Sports Illustrated magazine and open it up and read it, I am opening the mail. I'm not allowed to do that. If I get caught doing that, I can severely get punished for something like that or even get fired, lose my job. So if you... I take my job very seriously when it comes to delivering the mail. Because, like, you don't know who's watching you deliver the mail. There's a lot of these ring doorbells. Everybody has a video camera on their phone. So you just never know who's watching you when you're doing your job. You have to be professional. Do your job as it was if you were getting that package or you were getting that mail, because you wouldn't want that to happen to you.
Now, Charlie, and if you have questions, if you have U.S. Postal Service questions, mail carrier questions, get them answered now. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. We're talking to Charlie, who is a high-ranking official at a postal...
I'm not that high-ranking, Walter.
You had the word vice was in there somewhere.
Locally, but not nationally. Do we have national... president and a vice president nationally. I'm at the local level at my city. So I am kind of high ranking locally, but not nationally. So I just want to clear that up.
So I got to ask, I have to ask you some rapid fire questions. You ready?
Go ahead. Ready.
Does it matter if I type the envelope or if I handwrite the envelope? Is it the same thing? Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. Long as the address is clear so the machines can read it.
If the zip code is wrong, does it matter?
It doesn't matter, but if your carrier knows who you are and the name of that person, the regular carrier, the one that does the route 5 days a week, we know where to place that mail if it's the wrong zip code. Usually we'll get to the office or the city where it's at, and then... You know, usually if you recognize the name, you'll get that letter. It might not be right away, but you'll probably get that piece of mail.
If it's 1 ounce heavier than the postage I put on the letter, does it matter?
It depends. It's just a lot of times somebody will hand me an envelope and say, how many stamps does this take? Usually I can say it's always safe to put another stamp on a letter. I've seen stuff get through with less postage, and I've seen stuff get through with no postage. So it just depends on how that mail piece is handled.
Now, when I dump the Christmas cards in the mail on December 10th, last month, I got some of them back. Now, tell me what the impact would be if 350 million Americans decide to mail in their paper ballot, if they decide to vote by mail. What's going to happen, in your opinion?
I'm going to deliver whatever I can. I'm going to deliver it. My job is to deliver the mail. So if I have 350,000, nationwide, the letter carrier's job is to deliver whatever our task is to deliver. And the ballots is nothing different than Christmas time or any other piece of mail that anybody receives. We're going to do that task as letter carriers, no matter what it is.
If I mail a Christmas card on December 10th and I don't get it back till last month, which happened, I got a bunch of them back last month, why would it take 7 months to get it back?
Well, there could be a couple of things, Walter. It could be if it was to a high rise and, maybe nobody picked up the mail out of the box, or it was a vacant box, or it was just redirected to the wrong area. Maybe it didn't have a return address on it and they didn't know what to do with it. So when something doesn't have a return address on it, it goes to a dead letter center where people open up mail and they see if they can find out where that would actually go. They try to investigate where it would go. So I've had stuff returned 2 years, 3 years, yeah, it just gets lost in the shuffle. I mean, our rate of handling mail, millions and millions of pieces of mail a day, is like 99% with the errors. There's 1% of errors of mail that's being mistakes because machines are reading the mail. So at a 1% of the mail that's being mistaked, that's a pretty good ratio of millions of pieces of mail that's being handled every day. And for 55 cents, you can mail a letter from New York to California, and it should get there within between 3 and 4 days.
All right. Now we're talking to Charlie, who's a good friend of mine and the super fan of this radio show. He listens to every show. He knows everything about it. It's scary how much Charlie knows. And he is a high-ranking official at the Postal Carriers Local Union. Now, when you see our great president going ballistic about the post office, how does your rank and file feel?
We're very upset about the way that it's being handled with the Postmaster General. He is a Trump supporter. He's a non-postal employee in the past. Usually we like to promote within the ranks. So we're very upset of the changes that he's making. And I know your show is not political, and I don't like political things, because it's very, never works, conversation never turns out good. But I just say that there's a lot of people in Congress and the House that are want this person removed from the high ranks. And just because of the election, he's trying to remove equipment, remove machines, remove mailboxes, and it's really turned into a mess, because the public is not really knows what's going on with all of this right now. It's just you read something and you read something else and you read something else.
Right.
But
right.
I will assure you that the letter carriers are not the ones delaying mail. We're the ones that are being told to delay the mail. So we have to follow our instructions of our superiors. And it's
whoa. Your bosses are telling you to slow down on the delivery of the mail? Hold on a second. We have to talk more about that. That's an astonishing thing you just said, Charlie. That's amazing. Your bosses are telling you to slow down on the delivery of the mail. More on this coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. Great to be with you at 30 minutes past the hour.
Clothes so dingy gray they've been given up as hopeless have turned so radiantly white again they can hardly be told from new ones.
Now we return to Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather, tracking the heat, tracking the tropics, and last Monday, tracking the most devastating weather event of 2020. A derecho, a line of intense, widespread, and fast-moving thunderstorms that covers great distances with hurricane-force winds, in this case, over 100 miles an hour. That would be Cat 2. Since last Monday, millions in Iowa, portions of northern Illinois are still without power. 10 million acres of corn and soybeans destroyed. That's almost 50% of the crop and over $10 billion in damage. There's such a need, and you can help too, through the American Red Cross website. How often do these windstorms form? About every other year, when there's very cold air aloft and superheated air at the surface, creating those deadly straight-line winds. Fortunately, in terms of the forecast, we could see the derecho coming, even reported on it on this broadcast last Sunday. That hopefully was why the death toll was not as high. Now, speaking of hurricanes, Kyle and Josephine are done in the Atlantic, not a worry. And we're now watching two tropical waves racing across the Atlantic tonight, with better chances of development midweek. In fact, one wave already seems headed eventually to the Gulf of Mexico, and the next named storm will be Laura. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
This is a big deal, Vice President of a local U.S. Postal Service Carriers Union. He's also the number one fan of Sterling on Sunday. I have known him for a long time. I know he is a family man. I know he's been with the Postal Service for many years. I also know he's incapable of lying. And he's about to share with us an amazing fact. And the fact is that the reason that Postal Service might be a little slower right now, what is that reason?
The reason is the supervisors and managers are telling the letter carriers to delay the mail.
How exactly do they phrase that?
Don't take this today. Take it tomorrow.
They'll look at a pile of mail and say, don't take this today, take it tomorrow, or one letter. I mean, how is this dynamic? What is this relationship like?
It's pretty, I mean, if I question it, a lot of the senior carriers are questioning it because we know it's the wrong thing to do. Our job is to deliver the mail. Management's job is to manage the mail. They can't even manage the mail because they're being told by higher ups that to leave the mail and do it tomorrow. And a lot of the decisions are being made because everything is micromanaged now. So it's really upsetting the letter carriers because if we see important mail or medicine, we're told to leave stuff behind and take it tomorrow because they don't have enough people or they don't want to pay the overtime or whatever else they think of to try to lie to the public. That's what they're doing.
Perishable medicine is being left on bins in the post office distribution points because you're being told don't deliver it.
Right.
And you know it's perishable medicine, don't you, by the way it's labeled?
It's labeled. And you know it's medicine. You can shake it up, you can hear the medicine in it. And that was not like that ever before.
When did this start?
I would say right around the beginning of the pandemic is when it all started.
And let me get this clear. You are told by memo, by email, by
verbally.
So they walk down the aisle of the distribution points one after another, region after region, and they say what?
Take what you have, grab and go, and come back at the end of the day and take that mail that was sitting there in the morning and sort that mail for the next delivery day.
How does that make you feel?
It angers me because it's delaying the mail, and it's against the law to delay the mail.
It's against federal law?
Federal law. We don't delay mail. But when we're told to do something, we have to follow our instructions by our supervisors and managers. And then once we are told that and they tell us that we can't take the mail, then the grievances will be filed, and then we go from that point on and we file either a class action grievance or it will be a national grievance with the head of the top union in Washington, D.C. They will file a national grievance against the Postal Service for delaying the mail.
Have the grievances been filed?
I don't think they've been filed yet because a lot of the issues now are getting the House is starting to, you know, write to the Postal Service to do an investigation on the Postmaster General why all this stuff is all of a sudden happening that we're delaying the mail.
Would you say this is happening at all post offices or just a few?
It's happening nationwide.
Nationwide. And it's all because you are being directed to slow it down.
We are being told to slow it down, yes.
No other reason. My friend, that is the single most terrifying and astonishing thing I have heard in a long time.
And it's something that we take pride in delivering the mail, knowing our customers, and you should get to know your letter carrier as a customer.
I do.
Most people don't know the letter carrier. It's right. I know my customers. I know who phones during the day. I know who gets medicine. I know who, when I put the mail through the mail slot, I know to rubber band it so 50 pieces of mail will go over the floor, and a senior person has to bend over and pick up 50 pieces of mail. I take care of my customers, and, you know, I know my customers, and that's why, you know, a lot of the senior mailmen, and I'm an instructor, so I like to teach the new letter carriers to do the same thing that the senior letter carriers do. That way it's passed on down the line.
I appreciate you being on Sterling on Sunday. This is an amazing piece of information, and I'm sorry that you and your colleagues have to go through that and walk 7 miles a day and do it in 100-degree heat and deal with the dogs.
Well, Walter, we're going to fight until we get what we're supposed to do every day. Our union is we fight for what is right and what we know is right, and we're going to fight the Postmaster General and the higher-ups in the Postal Service until we get it the way it's supposed to be. And I'll tell your listeners, if you have a problem not getting the mail or your mail is being delayed, write your congressmen and senators. Go on any website of there. They have letters that you can just sign your name, petitions.
There has to be something better than writing to my congressmen and senators. I mean, they're crooks. There's got to be something better. Can I, you know, should I go to church and write a note to Jesus? I mean, that's insane. My congressmen and senators have never done a damn thing for me. Have they done anything for you?
Well, I have. They do support this stuff with the postal needs, because if politics is money, so our higher up union gives certain people money, and you know that's how that works. So
I mean, this is crazy. You know, get rid of it.
All right, my friend, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. I really do appreciate it. We'll talk soon. It's 44 past the hour, and coming up in just seconds, we're going to talk with my daughter, Dorothy, who's also suffering at the hands of insane government. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Amazing news from my fish room later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, if we're going to have all these drunk guys in Florida on riding lawnmowers on the side of the highway, why not just let them engage their blades and mow the place for us? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
I get very excited when there are new businesses that make the right decision to invest in radio. And that's the New Deal Shop. The New Deal Shop. The NewDealShop.com is filled with products that are amazing. But the one you want to pay attention to right now in these troubled times is the clean phone. Now, what do you mean a clean phone? Does that mean it's a phone that's clean? No. It's a box, and you put your phone in it, and the phone gets cleaned in less than 5 minutes. 99.9% free of viruses and germs. That's right, 99.9% free of viruses and germs. What does it matter if your phone is clean? Think about it. Where does your phone go? You hand it to your kid to play Minecraft on. You put it on the counter at a store. You put it down in your car. Your other kid picks it up. Other people touch your phone all day, and it's right next to your mouth all day. This is a way to clean it in less than 5 minutes without any fluid. What could be stupider than putting fluid on a cell phone? You know it'll break instantly. This, you put it in a box. It's always dry. 5 minutes later, you take it out, and it's 99.9% sanitized, no virus, no germs. You get it at thenewdealshop.com. That's where you get it, thenewdealshop.com. When I get off during the next segment, we'll get 10 calls of people saying, what was the name of that store? What was the name of it? It's thenewdealshop.com, thenewdealshop.com. Then you put in my name, Walter. And you get free 2-day shipping. And you're going to want the free 2-day shipping. Once you go to the site, you're going to go, gee, I want this stuff right now, right now. The way you get it right now is with the promo code Walter, the New Deal Shop.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sunday.
is treat day.
Ah, this is a perfect spot for a sponsorship billboard.
There's my Dorothy. Dorothy Sterling is in school, and I'm sorry you waited so long, but it was, I think that was an astonishing interview that we just had with the...
That did sound very interesting.
I mean, he told us that he's told to delay the mail. He is told by high-ranking officials to delay the mail. Oh, and it's true of every post office in America. Can you imagine that, Dorothy?
It's unbelievable.
Now, what's the temperature? What's the temperature in your dorm right about now?
I think it's about like 70s. It's nice. We've had a nice breeze today.
Now, this is my Dorothy. She's a freshman at Syracuse University. This is her first time away from home for any extended period of time. And what they decided to do was quarantine her because she spent the summer in Ohio with her grandmother. And it turns out that Ohio is a dirty viral state. Governor Cuomo said, if you want to come into New York State, you have to be quarantined for 2 weeks. Well, it got more complicated than that. They had to test her for COVID. Then when she arrived, they had to test her again. Then when she arrived, only one parent could come up with her. And then they could only stay for 2 hours. It was unbelievable. Oh, and she could only go out for 2 hours a day from her dorm. Then to make it exciting, just to bring everybody up to date, Dorothy, a few days ago, the governor said, oh, just kidding. And he lifted the quarantine from Ohio, and she was no longer under quarantine. But the university said, no, she really should just stick with it for a while in an unair-conditioned dorm. That brings everybody up to date, Dorothy. So where are we now?
Well, I'm currently sitting in the penthouse of my dorm. Today we were let off quarantine at 2 p.m., we immediately went outside, and everyone was, like, lined up outside of in the lobby waiting to be let out at 2 p.m. And then we went to our little local strip mall, and we went shopping and got some nice school gear, and everyone ate out. And it was actually a nice evening.
How are you getting along with the other kids?
Decently. I think soon enough we'll have new people, and so I won't have to deal with them anymore.
Oh, that's right. Non-quarantined students are arriving when?
Starting tomorrow, throughout the next week.
And then you will actually deal with your roommate.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to that.
No, imagine her. Imagine her feelings.
I know.
It's not going to be easy for her, I'll tell you that.
Hey.
Now, the first week of college, the first month of college, that's what you're about to experience as a freshman. Share with us the things that make you anxious when you think about the weeks ahead. What makes you anxious?
Oh, getting to class on time. I have classes that are on Zoom, and then 10 minutes later, I have to be in person in class. So I'm a little anxious about that, and I'm anxious about dining halls, getting food, making it around campus. Today I woke up with an email saying someone got robbed outside of my dorm.
But that could be any day. Now, what about the food? What kind of food have you been given since I take it you couldn't get restaurant delivery during the quarantine?
No, we couldn't until maybe the last 3 days. And it's been okay. It's cafeteria food. It's not much.
Well, how is it? What is the food? What do they give?
Well, I mean, it depends. Each day we can order from a selective group. So today for my last dinner, I had shrimp. Mm. It was actually pretty good. And then other days, like yesterday, we had ravioli, and it was the most disgusting. Like, the sauce was just like chunks of tomato. There's no sauce. It was chunks of tomato. And the ravioli was barely cooked, and it was just very bad. And then they gave me raw broccoli, unwashed, just raw broccoli. So it depends. It depends on the day.
This is Dorothy Sterling. She's a freshman at Syracuse University. She is my daughter. She's sharing with us the experience of being at school the very first week, which is not news and nothing I'd put on the air, except for the fact that she's been quarantined for 2 weeks. And and classes don't start for what, another week, two more weeks?
Yeah.
Crazy week. Talk. These are crazy people. Then when she got up there, the rules, the draconian rules about where she could go and when she could go out, only 2 hours for this. She couldn't go to the penthouse of her nice dorm. It's crazy time. And then the thing that always annoys me, it would annoy me under any conditions, is that none of these buildings are air conditioned. How can you send kids to a classroom or a dorm without air conditioning and say, you know, it's safe? It's not safe. They're in a petri dish of germs.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other kids that you've run into? Some of them are nice. Are any of them as annoyed as we are about this situation? Are they more spiritual about it than I am?
I think a little more spiritual, sure. I think, I think we're irrationally angry. But actually, well, most of them are from California, so the heat really hasn't bothered them. But for me, I am dying. It's just so bad. But, you know, it's okay. I think everyone's sort of been forced to hang out, and so we're being forced to get along. But the minute the quarantine was lifted, everything seemed to feel a little more lonely. It's like you don't actually have to hang out with these people anymore. Hmm. So there's been that.
That is kind of interesting. Now, we're going to send you up. Oh, and I can send you care packages now as often as I want, right?
Yes, instead of just two packages.
What would you like? What do you need? Perhaps Sterling on Sunday listeners will be willing to send you things.
Oh, all right. Well, then I would like a house, a car.
Yes.
No, a kid. I think just food, snacks. I think food and snacks sounds good.
Now, do you want Costco snacks or Walmart snacks or more gourmet snacks?
I think a mixture will do.
Mixture of snacks, because I think that's the primary reason Costco exists, is for gasoline and snacks.
I agree.
I didn't know we needed snacks in boxes that big. I didn't even know that pirate booty existed until I had children. It wasn't until I had children that I'm like, what are these pirate booty things? That was, and chocolate milk in a box. I didn't know about that either. And it's terrible.
Ooh, that sounds good.
That chocolate milk's awful. You want that? I'll send you whatever you want.
All right. Well, then I'll revisit.
What else do
they have? I'll revisit the chocolate milk.
And also they have, for some reason, at Costco, you can only buy toothbrushes by the 13th. They sell 13 toothbrushes at once. What am I going to do with 13 toothbrushes? It's crazy talk. It's crazy.
Hmm.
All right. Dorothy Sterling,
what do you expect?
We're very proud of you. Congratulations on getting through your quarantine at Syracuse University, a university that will be demanding funds from me at any moment. And we're all very proud of you, Dorothy.
Thank you, Dad.
Thanks for being on the Giant Radio Show. Okay, coming up, we have the usual edition. We have the drive-through brew. We have more audio than we've ever had before, according to James Monteague. Plus, we're going to review that crazy but factual interview that we just had with the head of a local postal workers union, where they are being told to delay your mail and your medicine. Oh, my God. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather, and tonight the big story is dangerous heat out west and across the state of Texas, and the deadly heat will continue for most of the week. 117 in Phoenix, 108 in Fresno, Dallas at 104 today, with severe thunderstorms pressing southward toward the Metroplex. The California heat wave has another really bad side effect too, making wildfires even worse, drying out soils and the potential fuels, with now 12 states fighting near uncontrollable wildfires. Plus, we have a severe thunderstorm watch tonight from Omaha to east of Denver. Warned cells in Nebraska pushing into Kansas. Locally heavy rainfall, vivid lightning, gusty winds. And behind the front, a new air quality alert for Denver tomorrow. What's your weather tomorrow? More quiet across the country, thankfully, but still very hot and many areas in need of rain. Showers and some thunder, mainly along the I-95 corridor from the Carolinas up to New England and all of the state of Florida. Scattered showers for the eastern Great Lakes along the Texas Gulf Coast, and that should be it, and just very hot. And the worst weather of the year was just 6 nights ago. That's next. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. All right, for our first Florida story, we go to St. Petersburg. There's a little 7,500-seat stadium where the professional soccer team, the Tampa Bay Rowdies, they call it home. This isn't even Major League Soccer. This is like a minor league soccer team. But when the coronavirus pandemic broke out, the games got delayed, and they even took some additional measures of cleaning the stadium and then sending the cleaning crew home for a month and not letting anybody in the building so it stays disinfected. A Florida man who was tired of being homeless snuck past the one security guard at the front gate and then set up camp in one of the luxury boxes for 2 weeks before somebody noticed. He went through the team's merchandise store to get a bunch of new clothes. He kept himself well fed because he broke into the concession area as well. He had access to toilets and fresh water. He probably could have stayed there the rest of the year. He even had air conditioning. And you got to admit, that's way better than just being homeless, right? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Fort Pierce, where a 40-year-old man appeared like he was fighting with another guy about the same age in an apartment complex. Cops show up. The two men insist, no, we're just wrestling. We're friends. We're play fighting. And one Florida man there was acting kind of twitchy, so the cops pat him down, and they find in his pocket a bag of MDMA and marijuana. Cop says, are these yours? He says, no, they're not. Well, how do they get in your pants? He says, these are not my pants. Where did you get these pants from? He said, a passerby came by. I wasn't wearing any pants. He felt sorry for me, so he gave me his pants, and I did not know there were drugs in the pocket. I'll let you know how it works out. He still got arrested and everything, but I think we might have a legal genius in our midst. Hold my beer.
Wait, Hold my beer.
All right, our next headline comes from Hillsborough County, where an Army soldier, a sheriff's deputy, and a sex offender walk into a bar. No, this isn't a joke. They're part of 16 guys that were arrested in a child sexting over last weekend. Can we skip this one? I just don't. Ugh. I don't know. It's just kind of gross for a Sunday night. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
All right, for our next Florida story, we have a Florida man who's caught driving a lawnmower on the highway. Cops pull him over. I mean, he's already on the shoulder, but sure enough, he's drunk as a skunk. They ask him if he can take the field sobriety test. He says no. They say why? He says it's because I'm too drunk. And you're like, Parker, didn't you do this story about 3 weeks ago? I checked the logs. I did a story like this about 2 months ago. But apparently this happens a lot in Florida. Maybe they should just let them drive on the sides of the highways in their lawnmowers. And if you're drunk, just engage the blades and we can get free landscaping from all the drunk guys. It's brilliant. Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I have learned a great deal about my neighbors since the pandemic. Things that I would have never noticed otherwise, I noticed. For example, one neighbor on one side has a constant aroma of exotic ethnic cooking. And then the neighbor on the other side has a yapping dog. I figured that that dog, which was always yapping before the pandemic, would not be yapping as long as the neighbors were home. Turns out the neighbors are home and the dog is yapping all day. They think it's cute. Then I found out that another neighbor has a different idea of sanitation than I do. They, even though it's trash day, they rarely put out trash. These are some of the things that I learned about my neighbors during the pandemic. Have you learned anything exotic or interesting or terrifying about your neighbors? 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. Oh, my gosh, we're on KFBK, Bill White's perfect radio station with that astonishing Kitty O'Neill in Afternoon Drive. Wow, and we have three daughters broadcasting, run by Gary Burns. He was a pioneer. He was one of the first to say, I will take Sterling on Sunday, because it took a certain amount of guts at that time. Thank you, Gary Burns. 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. Horror stories about your neighbors in the pandemic. Bruce, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
You don't know who I am, do you?
No, I don't.
I'm your neighbor.
A neighbor?
Which neighbor were you talking about? Yeah.
The one with the stinky food. The one with the stinky food.
No. No, I'm the one with the dog. And guess what? That new dog you don't like? You named it Walter.
What kind of dog is it? A dog from hell? A dog from hell?
No, it's a mix. No, it's a mix. It's part dog, part of its radio announcer. How about that?
Is it one of those? Is it one of those dogs like they found in the Egyptian temples that they had to seal up because it was so horrific?
Don't give me a hard time about Egyptians. I'm Jewish. Okay? Let's not go there. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I've tried to reach you. They gave me your home number. You don't take my calls. The only way I could reach you was to call your radio show. So you're going to listen to me, or are you going to treat me differently than all
I'm listening.
The people that call you?
I'm listening.
Okay, fine. First of all, don't yell at me. I have an ex-wife. Okay? Now, I saw you barbecuing in your backyard last week. No mask. What's that all about?
I was alone.
Well, you're always alone. I get that. You're making, I think they were like those marshmallows.
Yeah.
I pass you, I wave. I don't get a wave. You don't wear a mask. I thought maybe you'd offer me a marshmallow. Come on, that's what neighbors do. I mean, listen, Walter, you don't want to be friends. That's okay. But come on, meet me halfway. We got to live next to each other for a while now.
I prefer to pretend that I have no neighbors.
You know what? I prefer that too, but it doesn't work out that way. So let's come to some kind of truce while I got you on the radio. You have to impress your listeners.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What can I do? What do I have to do to put us in a good relationship?
Pay my rent.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
Thanks for your call. It's 14 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, you very well may hear the very last crack in a crack joke from Florida. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part two of Florida Stories.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Amazing news from my fish room. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
I love the newdealshop.com. It's called the newdealshop.com because it is filled with new products, products you haven't seen anyplace else, products you can't get anyplace else, and it will frankly improve your life. There are two products that I love. One is they have the masks. They have the right mask. They have the KN95 masks that you can actually breathe in. They're not made by your grandmother with little kittens and bunnies that are made out of felt that you can't breathe in. These are the masks that keep you safe and other people safe. How do you know? Because these are the masks that first responders, cops, firemen, nurses, doctors wear in all situations. KN95 masks. You get them at the newdealshop.com. The other thing they got at the newdealshop.com is this amazing box called the Clean Phone. The Clean Phone. The Clean Phone. What the heck's that? It's a beautiful box. You put your phone in there, or your keys, or your credit cards, or whatever you think needs to be sanitized. And in less than 5 minutes, it is 99.9% pure. Let me repeat that. You put anything in this box called the Clean Phone. That's the name of the box. You put it in there, push a button, dry. Less than 5 minutes later, it's 99.9% clean.
you get these amazing products at thenewdealshop.com. Thenewdealshop.com. Go there now. And then when you go to buy something, anything, you put in my name, Walter, and you get free two-day shipping, which you're going to want, because the minute you see these products, you're going to say, I need that. That's a good idea. TheNewDealShop.com.
Sterling on Sunday.
I was sick and tired of losing my hair, and I was looking for products that would solve the problem. And then the sales weasels came to me and said, would you take commercials for Keeps.com? Keeps.com. I said, what is it? They said, it's a series of products that stops and restores hair loss. I'm like, whoa, yes, indeed. We got the products. I started using them, and I made videos of it, and you can see them at Facebook.com. Facebook.com. It's a serum, a shampoo, and a pill, and I swear, my hair has gotten thicker and fuller, and it's starting to regrow. That's my experience. Get the information for you, and get 50% off when you use my name, Walter. 50% off. Why continue to waste time losing your hair? You don't have any more time. Let's save our hair, restore our hair, find out how at keeps.com.
Live from an all-American laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
All right, there's Sal F. in Utah listening to Sterling on Sunday, and it's a pleasure. Three Daughters Media, thank you for having us on. KMOX, KMBZ, KDKA, these are big, real radio stations, and WPHT, 1210 in Philadelphia. My God, that's amazing. It is a pleasure to be with you. There's nothing I enjoy more than this radio show. I am Walter M. Sterling. We are adding so many affiliates so fast that I need to pause and explain things. This is a great gift, this radio show. It's a great gift. The idea for this show is to have a unique transition between weekend and workday. Now, many people, most people who listen to the show are working the third shift, working for the late shift. You're going to work, you're coming back from the second shift. Whatever it is, it's a work-oriented thing. But for other people, they're going to the beach, they're coming back from the mountains, and this is the transition from weekend to workday. And I hope I make this peaceful and calm for you. Now, we had a conversation moments ago with the head, a vice president of a local letter carrier union. I've known him for years because he is our number one fan. He is a good guy. And we were doing a normal interview. I asked him, you know, when you mail a letter, does it matter if it's a pencil or a pen, and all the sort of stupid questions I would normally ask. And then he mentioned that he and his colleagues, fellow letter carriers, are being told to slow down the mail. They're being told to leave mail in a pile and not take it. Leave it for the next day. The boxes of medicine, the packages, the gifts. He's being told to, no, you don't have to pick that up today. You can leave that for another day. They're being told to do that all across the country. And I'm like, you got to say that again. And he did. And at 35 past the hour, we'll play that interview for you again, because you won't believe it. It is not a myth. The fact is that management of the post office are telling letter carriers to slow down the mail. It's not because they don't have enough overtime. It's not because of this or that nonsense or politics. No, they're just being told to slow down the mail. Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. And also against the law. I mean, it's against the law. So at 35 past the hour, you and I will hear that again. Pretty good, huh? And then I think, I'll bet you anything, we'll get it into the news cycle tomorrow. Let's see. Judy, who tells terrible jokes, who's in Dallas, Texas. Just the worst jokes ever. And I think this is a pretty good time to remind everyone of... where's my buttons? My buttons are all screwed up tonight. What is that? What is that sound, Judy? What is that machine sound?
I don't know.
No, there's a machine sound, but is it a respirator?
No, it's a CPAP.
And whose is it?
Mine.
Well, if it's yours and you use it, but you're talking to me, can't you turn it off?
I have it on, but I'm nowhere near it. I may come over here, turn it off, see if it's better. Is that better?
No, it's still on.
Okay. Mr. You have good ears.
No, no, I don't have good ears. It's so loud you can't imagine. It sounds like you're in front of two vacuum cleaners.
Really?
Yeah, and every time you call in,
well,
I'm like, is she
sick? Hey, look, I was not that close. Is this better?
Ah, this is a perfect spot for a sponsorship billboard.
Now, this is how it should be, because every time you call in, I hear that horrible noise, and I think you're on a respirator.
Well, I usually don't have it on, so I don't know what you're hearing.
Mr. Advertiser, your message goes here.
Judy's in Dallas. She tells us a terrible joke. We met her when I was on WBAP before their management buckled at the knees because they were weak and cowardly and they didn't stand up to corporate and say, no, we're keeping Sterling on Sunday, which is what they should have done. And now Judy's going to share with us a terrible joke.
What do you call an alligator in a vest?
No, 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 no. You've told us this joke three times.
Actually, it was a shy alligator in a vest, but now...
Mr. Advertiser, your message goes here.
What do you call an advertiser in a vest?
Not an advertiser, an alligator.
What do you call an alligator in a vest?
Investigator.
Plenty of room here for your commercial.
You've told us that joke three times, Judy. Three times.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, go back and get new jokes, okay? You got to get us new jokes. You've told us all these jokes multiple times, and I love them, and I love you, but you have to work at this.
Hire people with hooks.
All right? Thank you for calling in. Bye. Thank you for calling in. Guys, when Judy calls in, you have to ask her the joke. And then see if it sounds vaguely familiar, because she has told us all of these jokes more than once. And I love Judy, and she can call in any time. But I can't hear the same jokes over and over again, which usually involve either a bicycle or an alligator. That's a very limited range of joke telling. It's like on American Pickers. You ever watch American Pickers on History Channel? I'm so annoyed at that show because it's such a great premise for a show and it's so overproduced. All those things are picked long before those guys show up. But here's what's annoying about it. Mike, the boss, will always pick an old car frame, an old bicycle frame. Like, he'll find a chain of a bicycle and go, oh my God, this is the only 1938 bike in history. I can't believe you have it. And then they say, this bicycle change is worth $1,700. And I'm looking at this chain, and it looks like a Schwinn to me. But then they get very excited. Then the other guy, the short guy, he only wants oil cans. Now, what could be more boring on television than to collect oil cans? Here's a Flying C oil can. It was only made in 1938 in Detroit. There's only 18 of these ever made. This one's numbered. It's number 17. I can sell this for $14,000. I'm like, what? It's an oil can. It should have been recycled. It's greasy and disgusting. He collects oil cans, and he collects what? Toys. He collects tin toys. He's obsessed with tin toys. In the box! Look, Mike, this is in the box. Wow. He collects toys in the box and oil cans. And Mike collects bicycle frames, motorcycle frames. This is an Indian motorcycle. You know, you never see these. These barely exist. It's amazing that old Charlie here has 28 of them in his trailers. What's he doing with 28 motorcycles in his trailer? And why would Mike pay for any of this stuff? Because you know it's filled with dirty oil. You know it's filled with dirty gas. You know it's going to fall apart. And then we don't know how it really sells. We see that graphic that says Mike picked it for $1,800. He's going to retail it for $3,200. Profit $1,600. We don't know. We don't know if that actually happens. We don't know if that's all just a big story. It's all a fantasy.
I just think that you said it just to be stupid.
You never know. All right, coming up, we have the usual edition, My View of Public Radio, which I hate. We have the drive-through brew, and this time of year, the drive-through brews are exploding with business. Exploding with business. They're beer barns where you drive into a house, you look around, you say, I'll take those cases of Stegmeier from the Stegmeier Hootenanny, the pride of the Poconos, or the Portland beer, either way. What else I got for you? I have Velo Hool and another Florida Stories. Is there a bigger show? No. I am live on a Sunday night. There's nothing that touches this. I think you need to adjust and be comfortable with the fact you're not going to hear anything else. And then we have John Weatherby's weather in 6 minutes. No matter where you're going this weekend, you're going to have an opportunity to get up-to-date weather right now. There's no other show on American radio that's offering you up-to-date weather right now, is there? This is the time to go, thank you, Walter Sterling. We're going to discuss what I would do about the unrest in American cities tonight. It's terrifying that you'd have to go out tonight. I hope you don't have to go out tonight in a city. Isn't that a terrible thing I just had to say? Plus, Vic Ferrari, retired New York City police detective, will share with you and me a stunning and funny police detective story. Isn't that great? It's very rare. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I am stretching for you right now. And I look forward to sharing more information with you coming up in just seconds.
Let's go, go, let's go, go, go with Chip Oswald.
Now back to America's favorite network radio program, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather, tracking the heat, tracking the tropics, and last Monday, tracking the most devastating weather event of 2020. A derecho, a line of intense, widespread, and fast-moving thunderstorms that covers great distances with hurricane-force winds, in this case, over 100 miles an hour. That would be Cat 2. Since last Monday, millions in Iowa, portions of northern Illinois are still without power. 10 million acres of corn and soybeans destroyed. That's almost 50% of the crop and over $10 billion in damage. There's such a need, and you can help too, through the American Red Cross website. How often do these windstorms form? About every other year, when there's very cold air aloft and superheated air at the surface, creating those deadly straight-line winds. Fortunately, in terms of the forecast, we could see the derecho coming, even reported on it on this broadcast last Sunday. That hopefully was why the death toll was not as high. Now, speaking of hurricanes, Kyle and Josephine are done in the Atlantic, not a worry. And we're now watching two tropical waves racing across the Atlantic tonight, with better chances of development midweek. In fact, one wave already seems headed eventually to the Gulf of Mexico, and the next named storm will be Laura. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
888-688-WALT. That's my phone number, 888-688-WALT. There's been a lot of talk about the post office and about the funding of it and the defunding of it and some people in Congress wanting to reinstate the overtime and others wanting to cut the overtime. But the fact is, all of our lifetime, the post office has lost money. The fact is that you know what happens to your Christmas mail, maybe February. None of that is news. What is news is the fact that our mail has gotten slower in the past few months. The reason our mail has gotten slower in the past few months is terrifying. Here's the head of a local regional postal carriers union, a man I know very well, and therefore I believe every word. This is why he says the mail is coming in slower. This is a big deal, vice president of a local U.S. Postal Service carriers union. He's also the number one fan of Sterling on Sunday. I have known him for a long time. I know he is a family man. I know he's been with the Postal Service for many years. I also know he's incapable of lying. And he's about to share with us an amazing fact. And the fact is that the reason that Postal Service might be a little slower right now, what is that reason?
The reason is we're the supervisors and managers are telling the letter carriers to delay the mail.
How exactly do they phrase that?
Don't take this today, take it tomorrow.
They'll look at a pile of mail and say, don't take this today, take it tomorrow, or one letter. I mean, how is this dynamic? What is this relationship like?
It's pretty, I mean, if I question it, a lot of the senior carriers are questioning it because we know it's the wrong thing to do. Our job is to deliver the mail. Management's job is to manage the mail. They can't even manage the mail because they're being told by higher ups that to leave the mail and do it tomorrow. And a lot of the decisions are being made because everything is micromanaged now. So it's really upsetting the letter carriers because if we see important mail or medicine, we're told to leave stuff behind and take it tomorrow because they don't have enough people or they don't want to pay the overtime or whatever else they think of to try to lie to the public. That's what they're doing.
Perishable medicine is being left on bins in the post office distribution points because you're being told don't deliver it.
Right.
And you know it's perishable medicine, don't you, by the way it's labeled?
It's labeled. And you know it's medicine. You can shake it up and you hear the medicine in it. And that was not like that ever before.
When did this start?
I would say right around the beginning of the pandemic is when it all started.
And let me get this clear. You are told by memo, by email, by
verbally.
So they walk down verbally the aisle of the distribution points one after another, region after region, and they say what?
Take what you have, grab and go, and come back at the end of the day and take that mail that was sitting there in the morning and sort that mail for the next delivery day.
How does that make you feel?
It angers me because it's delaying the mail. And it's against the law to delay the mail.
It's against federal law?
Federal law. We don't delay mail. But when we're told to do something, we have to follow our instructions by our supervisors and managers. And then once we are told that and they tell us that we can't take the mail, then the grievances will be filed. And then we go from that point on and we file either a class action grievance or it will be a national grievance with the head of the top union in Washington, D.C., they will file a national grievance against the Postal Service for delaying the mail.
Have the grievances been filed?
I don't think they've been filed yet because a lot of the issues now are getting the House is starting to, you know, write to the Postal Service to do an investigation on the Postmaster General why all this stuff is all of a sudden happening that we're delaying the mail.
Would you say this is happening at all post offices or just a few?
It's happening nationwide.
Nationwide. And it's all because you are being directed to slow it down.
We are being told to slow it down, yes.
No other reason. My friend, that is the single most terrifying and astonishing thing I have heard in a long time.
And it's something that we take pride in delivering the mail, knowing our customers, and you should get to know your letter carrier as a customer.
I do.
Most people don't know the letter carrier. It's right. I know my customers. I know who's home during the day. I know who gets medicine. I know who
when I put the mail through the mail slot, I know to rubber band it. So 50 pieces of mail to go over the floor, and a senior person has to bend over and pick up 50 pieces of mail. I take care of my customers, and, you know, I know my customers. And that's why, you know, a lot of the senior mailmen, and I'm an instructor, so I like to teach the new letter carriers to do the same thing that the senior letter carriers do. That way it's passed on down the line.
I appreciate you being on Sterling on Sunday. This is an amazing piece of information. And I'm sorry that you and your colleagues have to go through that and walk 7 miles a day and do it in 100-degree heat and deal with the dogs.
Well, Walter, we're going to fight until we get what we're supposed to do every day. Our union is we fight for what is right and what we know is right, and we're going to fight the Postmaster General and the higher-ups in the Postal Service until we get it the way it's supposed to be. And I'll tell your listeners, if you have a problem not getting the mail or your mail is being delayed, write your congressmen and senators. Go on any website of there. They have letters that you can just sign your name.
Listen, there has to be something better than writing to my congressmen and senators. I mean, they're crooks. There's got to be something better. Can I, you know, should I go to church and write a note to Jesus? I mean, that's insane. My congressmen and senators have never done a damn thing for me. Have they done anything for you?
Well, I have. They do support this stuff with the postal needs, because if politics is money, so our higher up union gives certain people money, and, you know, that's how that works.
All the crooks got together. It's 44 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Amazing news from my fish room later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, you very well may hear the very last crack in a crack joke from Florida. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part two of Florida Stories.
Why are we wasting time losing our hair? There's no reason to lose your hair. Now, nobody's going to tell you that you're going bald. That's the worst thing. They'll tell you that that suit's ugly. They'll tell you your pants are too short. They'll tell you to lose weight. Nobody's going to tell you you're losing your hair. When you go to the barber and he puts that mirror behind you, he says, look at this. You don't look, do you? I don't look. I don't want to see the back of my head because I can't do anything about losing my hair until right now. And now I can stop my hair loss and probably regrow hair by using the products from Keeps.com, K-E-E-P-S.com, Keeps.com, Keeps.com. Now listen, if you have a husband, a boyfriend who's starting to go bald, what a great gift. Give him Keeps.com. Open up the website. Leave it open. Let him find it. Let him say, oh, this is really interesting. And then say, you know what? You think that's interesting? Me too. Why don't I give it to you as a gift? Now, it's a very reasonably priced gift. And imagine something to have that positive impact on his life and yours than to stop hair loss and possibly restore his hair. Wow. Wow, what a hero you'd be. Go to Keeps.com, K-E-E-P-S.com, Keeps.com. And then, here's the best part. You put in my name, Walter, in the promo box. Walter! And you will save 50, 5-0, not 10, not 20, not 30, not 4, 5-0, 50% off on your order of Keeps.com products. This is a real company with a terrific product that you only get from a doctor. You'll be put in touch with a doctor, and the doctor will decide what's right for you, and they will send it to you. Keeps.com, K-E-E-P-S.com.
Live from the laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
From obscure corners around the Swiss-speaking world, this is the money-grabbing usual edition.
I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz. First, we visit the homeland of Sabrina, the teenage witch.
Well, we actually have a few writers on our show, a few people who are part of our crew who are practicing Wiccans. So
you do.
We do. So it's nice. You feel like you're
spiritual, yet frightening.
Mm-hmm.
the public radio player piano, music from a tiny toilet.
This edition of The Usual Edition is made possible by a generous grant from Brooklyn Heights Craft Brewing and Towing. To build the brewery, we had to agree to keep the towing lot.
For the true perspective on the situation in our cities, we go to our first news source, the streets of Sweden. And here's Jim, the blind man.
I'm blind, and I'm in Sweden, which makes me prime public radio staff. First, we talk to a Swedish person.
Bork, bork, bork.
That was great.
I know.
Is it ABBA or ABBA?
It's ABBA.
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 ABBA. Damn it. What other cities would you recommend visiting in Sweden?
None.
Is it true that in Sweden, the gay part of town is the whole town?
Yeah, that's true.
Sweden was founded as a gay nation.
Yeah, we're pretty gay.
we're pretty gay.
We were walking down the street and we saw a couple signs that said infart and outfart.
Yeah, because fart means speed.
So international. Please send us money so public radio can maintain quality international coverage. I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz.
And you're spectacular, Rachel. Now, you and I can stay in touch at all times. Here's what you do. You send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail, waltermsterling@gmail. I welcome all criticism. If you don't like something about the show, I want to hear that. I don't need to be loved. I just need to know how you're doing. Then we have a Facebook page, Walter M. Sterling at Facebook, Walter M. Sterling at Facebook. You go there, you see wacky pictures, strange suggestions, anything that amuses me. Then I have an aggressive Twitter feed because Lord knows that's important today. Walter M. Sterling is the Twitter feed. What else do I have? Oh, a podcast. Let me talk about this for a second. Nick Cannon got in a lot of trouble because he did a podcast. And many other broadcasters, big broadcasters, have lost their jobs or been forced to make a public apology. They've been forced to make a public apology because of something they said in their podcast. Here's the thing. They don't understand what a podcast is. This is very important. I'm going to share something critical with you in case you ever have fantasies about doing a podcast. A podcast is a moment in time. It is not a broadcast. A podcast is information that's frozen at one moment in time and then can be played over and over and over and over again and studied. If I say something incredibly stupid on this show, which I will, you're going to go, what? What did he say? What did he say? And there's no way for you to go back. I am protected by the fleeting moment, by the fleeting minute, that nothing here is permanent. Everything you listen to on the radio is disposable. It's a tissue. That's what broadcasters are used to. Guys like me, we're used to just talking as fast as we can, getting away with whatever we can. Oh my gosh, what did he say? Did he really say that? That's the medium of radio. The medium podcast, though, is meant to be studied. It's something where you can listen, rewind, repeat, rewind, fast forward, rewind. That's different. That's not what broadcasters are used to. That's not what stage performers like Nick Cannon are used to. Nick, you know, is a morning man on a New York City radio station. I haven't heard him, but I suspect it's not pretty. Because he is a stand-up comic. He is a television performer. Radio is different. Every medium creates its own stars. This is a different medium. That's why whenever you see a morning man or a disc jockey on TV, you go, oh, God, he looks horrible. He's too fat, and he doesn't fit into those clothes, and he gets his clothes at Kmart. It's never good. Same thing with local TV weathermen. When local TV weathermen say, well, you know, it's Thanksgiving coming up. You think you'd let me do a talk show for your station? Fine. The joke in radio is beware the sixth minute, because everybody has 5 minutes of a talk show in them. 5 minutes of a good talk show, and then they hit the sixth minute, and they find out there are no phone calls. They find out there's no script and no prompter. It's a different medium. Nick Cannon goes on as a guest on a podcast show. And he says something. I don't know what he said. I don't care what Nick Cannon says. I'd just like to hear a little more about having sex with Mariah Carey. But he never talks about that, ever. Anyway, he says something. And now it's actually listened to and repeated. And somebody goes back and listens to it again and goes through it. And like, what? What did he say? And that's where the trouble came in. Because every medium is a combination of the science of the medium and the content of the medium. And Lucille Ball made a movie every summer during hiatus from I Love Lucy. Can you name one of those movies? No, because Lucille Ball was the biggest TV star in history, but not a movie star. And the relationship between a performer and their medium is critical to how successful that is. There are fantastic oil painters that cannot do charcoal. There are fantastic charcoal artists that cannot do oil. There are great magazine writers who cannot write a novel, and great novelists who can write a magazine article. Every medium creates their own stars. And there it was. Nick Cannon was a guest in a podcast, and he was in trouble. But how many times have I seen, you know, a talk show host, a disc jockey, a sports person, always sports people, an ESPN person, always these ESPN people, they get in trouble when they do something else. And then this is the really stupid part, the really dumb part, is management makes them apologize. There is nothing more worthless than an apology at the end of a plank. You will walk to the end of the plank of this pirate ship and you will apologize. To who? The sharks? They're going to eat me anyway. You will apologize. Apologies are worthless. The smartest thing to do, if somebody on the air says something stupid, the smartest thing to do is to keep going. Just keep going. It's the first thing you're taught in Radioland. First thing I was taught, first thing any good announcer is taught is if you say something stupid, just keep going. Because if you stop and apologize, you will draw attention to something that nobody was paying attention to. Absolutely nobody cared about. It's perfectly all right because it's just radio. It's disposable. I have a lot coming up for you. We have the drive-through brew, and we have another edition of Florida Stories. Plus, Velo Hool is going to offer you guppies, beautiful guppies, if you can guess the mystery voice when we talk on the phone. And I need your advice. So hopefully tonight I will ask for your advice. You will share it with me. We'll know what to do, and then you'll guess the mystery voice. When you guess the mystery voice, you'll have a chance to win not only a prize announcement, but an actual prize. Can you imagine that? How come? Because I'm live. This is Sterling on Sunday, live on a Sunday night, coming up in seconds.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather, and tonight the big story is dangerous heat out west and across the state of Texas. And the deadly heat will continue for most of the week. 117 in Phoenix, 108 in Fresno, Dallas at 104 today, with severe thunderstorms pressing southward toward the Metroplex. The California heat wave has another really bad side effect too, making wildfires even worse, drying out soils and the potential fuels, with now 12 states fighting near uncontrollable wildfires. Plus, we have a severe thunderstorm watch tonight from Omaha to east of Denver. Warned cells in Nebraska pushing into Kansas. Locally heavy rainfall, vivid lightning, gusty winds. And behind the front, a new air quality alert for Denver tomorrow. What's your weather tomorrow? More quiet across the country, thankfully, but still very hot and many areas in need of rain. showers and some thunder, mainly along the I-95 corridor from the Carolinas up to New England and all of the state of Florida. Scattered showers for the eastern Great Lakes along the Texas Gulf Coast, and that should be it, and just very hot. And the worst weather of the year was just 6 nights ago. That's next. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
The drama of the drive-thru brew continues. The drive-thru, where beer meets T-shirts. Our slogan says it all. Drive-thru and you're through. Why am I doing this? Well, my father was legendary New York broadcaster Big Wilson. Yeah, that was my dad. he'd be horrified. I mean, I'm sure he's familiar with drive-thrus, but he called it Hurley's.
What do you want for Christmas? Just trying to compile a little list of things, maybe what you want. Now, see, a little figurine, I hadn't thought of that.
As the manager, I have to move product that isn't moving. That's what Marcus Lemonis taught me.
What isn't moving?
These flip phone sales have slowed down.
This is a funny premise, but not a very funny bit. Life in the drive-thru brew. J.J. Wilson speaking.
Plenty of room here for your commercial.
All right, coming up in just seconds, we're going to hear from Vic Ferrari, retired New York City police detective, with a great New York City police detective story, because I like cops. Now, let me chat with you a little bit about the troubles. The troubles that we have in Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Cincinnati. Cincinnati, that's not a real city. Here's the deal. Did you see the movie Gangs of New York? Did you see that movie? Here's the Walter Sterling perspective on all of this. In Gangs of New York, it showed two groups of idiots fighting over a small area of turf, about five blocks in Lower Manhattan in the, the late 1600s, early 1700s. And they would fight fist-to-fist, hand-to-hand combat, no knives. That was the rule, no knives. They'd fight until the snow was bloodied, then they'd step aside, one of their leaders would get killed. That was the movie. I found it an incredibly boring Leonardo DiCaprio movie, but that was the movie. And I kept thinking, when is somebody going to intervene? Well, somebody didn't intervene. At some point, the federal troops came in, were sent in by Washington to go to New York and stop the unrest, stopped it. And as a result, federal buildings, courthouses were built, Lower Manhattan got to be developed, sanity prevailed, Chinatown became huge. The best Chinese food in America is now where Leonardo DiCaprio was fighting, in that very spot, at the Collect Pond, which is now a park. It's also the home to the Civil Center Courthouse, where you go to get evicted. It's a beautiful spot. But the point is that at some point they said, all right, enough. You've done your hand-to-hand combat. You're not going to do any more. In Seattle, Portland, Chicago. Did you see what happened in Chicago the other night? In Chicago, a large car drove over the curb, drove into the picture window of a major department store, smashed it. And then the thugs got out of the car, went in, and took whatever they wanted. It went in and took whatever they wanted. For about 100 days now in Portland, there has been anywhere between civil unrest and rioting. Seattle, same thing. Cincinnati, three people were killed yesterday in Cincinnati. A small city. Cincinnati, not a big city. This is getting worse every day. And there are dramatic shootings and death in places like New York City every single day where there had been none. Let me just look for one second. Let me look at the news here to see what has happened in New York City tonight. Let me see if there's anything new in New York City tonight. New York City videos. Computer froze. Illinois teens robbed at gunpoint at lemonade stand. Police help replenish funds. Squad member calls for unrest in the streets over Trump-backing GOP members. That's what great advice. There should be unrest in the streets. And let's see. This is a peaceful moment that will change. Shocking video shows moment. Thieves pull off brazen East Village ATM heist. They just went in and stole an ATM. Garbage everywhere you look. New York City parks are in disarray. And it goes on and on. But the fact is there'll be shooting this weekend, significant number of shootings throughout America. There will be a significant number of robberies, civil unrest, rioting, all across the country. Things that would have happened maybe once a year in these cities are out of control. It's out of control in Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Cincinnati, New York City. Wow. What needs to happen is for the federal troops to go in with a surgical precision and put an end to it. It's not going to end any other way. And the nonsense about this is because these are Democrat mayors. It's not because they're Democrat mayors. It's because they're incompetent mayors. They're incompetent. It has nothing to do with their party. You all know that people on both sides of the aisle are just crooks. No, these are particularly incompetent mayors. That poor woman in Seattle who was the police chief who had to quit because her funding was being taken away, her mayor is sitting there. They want to impeach her mayor of Seattle. And she's being blamed for what the police chief didn't do. And the mayor of Seattle, who is the boss of the police chief, is saying, oh, gee, it's not me. It wasn't my responsibility. It's not for me to enact police policy. What do you mean it's not for you to enact police policy? It is. It's your specifically your job to specifically enact police policy. My number is 888-688-WALT. I say take in federal troops now, just like in Gangs of New York. Put an end to it now. Because it's not going to get better, and the hotter it is outside, the worse it's going to get. My number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Amazing news from my fish room later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, you very well may hear the very last crack in a crack joke from Florida. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part two of Florida Stories.
I have never seen anything like this. The NewDealShop.com. I have never seen a website like this. This is like a grand bazaar of exotic merchandise. Go see it. TheNewDealShop.com. And may I call your attention to two particular products. One of them are the masks. You're going to buy the masks anyway. No matter what you think, you're going to buy the mask. As each state says you have to wear a mask, different stores say you got to wear masks, you're going to need masks. Get the right ones, the KN95 masks. That's what they're called, the KN95 masks. These are the masks you can breathe in. These are the masks that protect you and other people. They are comfortable. You can exercise in them. You can take a walk in them. KN95 mask. You're going to walk the dog? This is the mask you want. KN95 mask. You get them at the New Deal Shop. The New Deal, D-E-A-L, thenewdealshop.com. Go there. Look at these masks. They are reasonably priced. They are nicely packaged. They are easy to use and access. These are the ones that are used by first responders, firemen, doctors, registered nurses. The New Deal Shop. Get the masks at the New Deal Shop. Like I say, you're going to get them anyway. Why? Your grandmother's masks are doing you no good. The ones with the kittens and the rabbits on them, that not any good. You need these masks, the real ones. At thenewdealshop.com, you put in my name, Walter, and you get free two-day shipping. Free two-day shipping. And you'll look at them and go, gee, I'd like to have them now. That's why you want the free two-day shipping. You want them as soon as possible. The name of the website is The New Deal Shop. The New Deal Shop.
Sterling on Sunday.
I have no idea why you'd want to continue losing your hair. Now you don't have to. go to keeps.com, K-E-E-P-S, go to keeps.com, and then go to Walter M. Sterling at Facebook. When you go to Walter M. Sterling at Facebook, you're going to see a video of my head. You're going to see a video from last week and this week, and you can compare what's happened to my hair in just about 10 days. And thanks to keeps.com, it has slowed down my hair loss, and it has started to restore my hair. That's right. Keeps.com. And when you go there, put in the promo code Walter and get 50% off at keeps.com. Please go to my website at Facebook, the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page. Take a look at the video of what's happened to my hair in just about 10 days, thanks to keeps.com.
Where you're hearing things,
where you're hearing things.
Sterling on Sunday.
I woke up and I looked into my fish aquariums to get a gander at what was going on, and what did I find? 9 Amica splendens fry. The Amica splendens, critically endangered, almost completely wiped out in the wild. And I doubled my population in one day. I'm so happy. Remember a couple of weeks ago I told you about I had stillborn fry. Well, these are living, and they're happy, and they're vibrant, and they just couldn't be any better. Fry in a fish room means happiness for your fish. If they're happy, they give you babies. If they're happy, they give you mating behavior. With your fish room update, this is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan for Sterling on Sunday.
All right, 20 past the hour. You and I are driving across the country right now, coming back from the beach, coming back from the mountains. This is the best time of night to be driving. I love being in the car right now. I love being in the 18-wheeler with Keith Mortensen right now. Keith and I are very intimate in the 18-wheeler. It's a special time, isn't it, Keith? It's just you and me. You're in the best media room in the world, your car, your truck. And then you have to overpay for tolls. How the hell did no state shut down the tolls during the coronavirus and that insane Chesapeake Bay Bridge, which is $900 to get to the Outer Banks? Jeez, crazy tolls. But I have come to the conclusion that in Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Cincinnati, New York, the federal troops should come in just like Gangs of New York and shut it down. Enough. You got 100 days in Portland of nonsense shenanigans. Just come in and shut it down. And I don't understand really what the problem is. I understand what gangster cops do when they're disrespectful, when they do not respect African Americans. I also understand when they don't respect me. I don't understand how they pull over a car, mine, just because the light on my license plate wasn't working. How is that a good use of trained police officers' time? Just pull me over for not having a light on my license plate and thinking it's almost sort of funny to have wasted my time. Whenever I pass a police department, I always notice the fact that there seem to be 10 cars parked in front of it. Now, I thought those cars were supposed to be out on patrol. And this is where it gets tricky, because 1, I respect police. 2, I know we need them. 3, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, the police are bad. They're not bad. They're great guys. Most of them are great guys. But I don't see why they need 10 cars that aren't moving. I don't see why the Parma, Ohio Police Department needs a tank. I don't know why they need anti-aircraft weapons, anti-aircraft missile tanks. No, the Parma, Ohio Police Department, which is known strictly for generating huge amounts of human gas for farting with the sausages, I don't know why they need an anti-aircraft artillery tank. Why is that? But they have one. I don't think there's a 100% case for every police department in America to have the funding they have. But then when I hear, defund the police, I'm like, what? Well, yeah, what are you going to do with it? You're going to give it to social programs that are run by crooks. Therefore, it seems to me that I'm happier, it's more accountable with the police department. And then I floated this fascinating idea with my family, which I'm going to test. I said, why can't we have a Black Lives Matter sign on our lawn and a Trump 2020 sign on our lawn? Why can't we have a Trump 2020 sign on our lawn and a Black Lives Matter line? I've never seen that. I see Biden signs and Black Lives Matter signs, but I never see Black Lives Matter and Trump. Why don't I see that? I'm going to test that while they're away. My family's on vacation. What a great gift from God. My family is on vacation. What could be better than that? How cool is that? And therefore, I get to sit and plan my shows. This show is particularly great, isn't it? Next week will even be more spectacular. But that's what I feel. I feel that the federal tanks should move in now. Stop with the nonsense in Seattle. Stop with the nonsense in Portland, Chicago. They've destroyed Michigan Avenue. They've destroyed major shopping districts. And you have to remember, the things that are being destroyed is not government property. It's private property. It's stores and businesses that people have worked to build for maybe 100 years. And it's being ruined by one truck going over the curb, driving in there, and gee, insurance didn't plan on that. And therefore, those people should not only be arrested, but the federal government should do whatever is necessary to stop it in the future and prevent it in the future, since it seems the local mayor is not behind that. And the Seattle police, the Seattle mayor is saying, "Ooh, no, don't bother me. Oh, I'm not in charge." She's actually saying that. She's actually saying, "Well, I can't help it that the police chief quit, but I'm not really in charge of the police." Yes, you're in charge of the police. How do you feel? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. That's how I feel. How do you feel? 25 past the hour. Coming up in seconds, we will have Florida stories. I know you love Florida stories. And I will also have a personal dilemma, an etiquette dilemma that actually you have helped me solve most of my etiquette dilemmas to a profound degree. And I thank you for that. And I will share that with you in just a second. You know what? Let's do, let's play the Florida story, the second Florida story. Let's hit that. Hello? Hello? Can you get it?
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida story, we're going to Orlando, where at a store called Shooter's World, they have a giant gun safe. It's like a walk-in closet, but this is a walk-in gun safe. A teenager walks in there, the door closes behind her, and no one knows the code. It was just a display model. The manager's not there at the times, and he knows where the code is, and they literally had to call the fire department and get one of the jaws of life, one of those big hydraulic extraction tool to access the safe. They had to rip the safe apart. But no worries. According to the Orange County Sheriff's Department, the teenager was safe. I'm sorry. I had to do it. I'm a dad. I have to say those jokes.
Wait, Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, cops are driving down I-95, and a motorist speeds past them. So they pull him over. While they have this speed demon pulled over, about the time they get done writing his ticket, another guy speeds past him. So he jumps back in his car, and he's going to go chase down this other speeder. When he flips on his lights, the guy doesn't pull over. He guns it, and he tries to burn the cop. Cop says he gets the speeds up to 132 miles an hour. Finally, he pulls over on an exit, pulls into an apartment, and tries to run into an apartment before the cop can see which one he gets to. But he had his little baby in the car, so he had to eventually come back for his baby. He's charged with reckless driving and child neglect. But in his arraignment, where he doesn't have to speak up, he just volunteered to let the judge know what his defense is. He says, "Your Honor, clearly the officer is lying. There's no way I can be going 132 miles per hour in my car. I drive a Hyundai Accent." I'll let you know how that holds up in court. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
He's got a case. For our next Florida story, a 40-year-old Florida man goes into a 7-Eleven in Pinellas Park. And this 40-year-old man has the refined palate of my 8-year-old daughter. He wants a big Slurpee. So he goes and he gets one. When the cashier rings it up, he's not happy with the price. He's like, you charged me the wrong price for this Slurpee. You charged me for the extra large, and I just got the large, and I'm not paying. She grabs the Slurpee off the counter before he does, and he backhands it, and the Slurpee goes all over her. The next day, this woman's working her morning shift again. There happens to be a cop in the 7-Eleven. When the guy who backhanded the Slurpee the day before, he comes back to the store. And so she tells the cop, say, hey, you remember me? I filed this report yesterday. This is the guy. The cop goes and questions the man, figures out it is the guy. He gets arrested. Boom, hero. That's what you get for being so cavalier with a Slurpee. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Fort Pierce, where a woman got pulled over. And when the cop goes up to the window, it looks like she's impaired. So he immediately calls for backup. The backup gets there. They search the car. They search her. And she had a crack pipe up her, on the police report, it says hindquarters. So we'll just stick with their verbiage here. And if you're thinking, Parker, didn't you do that last week? No, that was 2 weeks ago, and that was the meth pipe. I went back and I looked at some of my Florida story sources, and I could do one of these stories almost every week. Should I stop doing these? Like, have we heard enough crack in the crack jokes already? Like, are we past that now? I think we are. And I'm kind of happy we are. It feels like an accomplishment. We did this together. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Sterling on Sunday. Pay no attention to the noises in the background.
Sterling on Sunday weather, tracking the heat, tracking the tropics, and last Monday, tracking the most devastating weather event of 2020. A derecho, a line of intense, widespread, and fast-moving thunderstorms that covers great distances with hurricane-force winds, in this case, over 100 miles an hour. That would be Cat 2. Since last Monday, millions in Iowa, portions of northern Illinois are still without power. 10 million acres of corn and soybeans destroyed. That's almost 50% of the crop and over $10 billion in damage. There's such a need, and you can help too, through the American Red Cross website. How often do these windstorms form? About every other year, when there's very cold air aloft and superheated air at the surface, creating those deadly straight-line winds. Fortunately, in terms of the forecast, we could see the derecho coming, even reported on it on this broadcast last Sunday. That hopefully was why the death toll was not as high. Now, speaking of hurricanes, Kyle and Josephine are done in the Atlantic, not a worry. And we're now watching two tropical waves racing across the Atlantic tonight, with better chances of development midweek. In fact, one wave already seems headed eventually to the Gulf of Mexico, and the next named storm will be Laura. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
Plenty of room here for your commercial.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, let me tell you a great story from my new book, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division. So around the early 2000s, my partner and I were looking for this half a wise guy. Well, he's more of a mobster without a mom. And he lived down in Little Italy. So we go down to his apartment and banging on the door. And you hear this little old lady yelling from inside the door, who is it? So I says, Anthony. She goes, come, I don't live here no more. Get the hell out of here, Anthony. So I says, all right. Thank you, Mrs. Jones, just for saying. So anyway, Carmine had a warehouse on the west side of Manhattan. So my partner and I go to this warehouse. We walk inside. Inside this room, there's got to be 30 Arabic men sitting around a table. And if you ever wondered where the food vendors, where that food comes from, so I got a story from you, for you. It's like 30 guys in this hot room, no refrigeration, impaling meat on sticks with green bell peppers. There were flies buzzing around. It was disgusting. So I asked one of the guys there, where's Carmine? He goes, Carmine, you know, Mr. Carmine only comes around once a month. You guys hungry? I says, no, pass. So we go back to Carmine's block a couple of days later. Comes out of his building. He's walking a pit bull. So it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We really don't want to pounce on him because if he lets the dog go, it's a crowded street corner. If we wind up shooting the dog, someone could get hurt. So I told my partner, I go, we'll come back Monday. We'll be better prepared. So the next Monday, I've got a rain jacket, a snap hole to grab the dog. We got mace. We got rain jackets. We got everything just in case we, you know, something goes wrong. We can, you know, say that we did our due diligence. Here comes Carmine, 5 in the morning, comes popping out of his building. This time he's got 2 pit bulls. I go, oh, crap, what are we going to do now? My partner goes, well, I'm not doing this again. He mounts the sidewalk, drives head on it at Carmine and his 2 dogs. Carmine just stops in his tracks. We jump out. Carmine, don't move. Don't make me shoot the dog. No, 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 no. It's okay. It's okay. They're friendly. I said, all right, I'm going to take a walk back up to the apartment. So I take a walk back up to Carmine in the apartment with the 2 dogs. He's banging on the door. The mother goes, Carmine's not home. He goes, Ma, it's me. Open up. So she opens up the door and she goes, what's he being charged with? So I explained to her, you know, the charges and it's car related. And she recognizes my voice and she goes, you're a real scumbag, Anthony, remembering my voice from the last time. So Carmine did a little bit of time. My partner and I got the dogs, you know, safely back to the apartment and everything went fine.
Plenty of room here for your commercial.
Hire people with hooks.
Color in sky, brush and blue. Scarlet fleece.
If you get off the plane and you land in Portland, Oregon, this is what you hear in the airport. And then if you go to a stadium, a public arena in Portland, Oregon, what do you hear? You hear public radio piped in. You hear Diane Rehm is the voice of their bus system. She is their voice. She makes the announcement on the bus system. Let me tell you, the problem with Portland and Washington is that expectations are too high. Nobody is born there. No one's born in Seattle. No one's born in Portland. We're born in Philadelphia, New York, Kansas City, St. Louis, Pittsburgh. That's where people are born. That's the birthing pool. Then you go upstream. And you go to Portland and Seattle. Well, what happens then? You have expectations. You think everything will be beautiful. Your imagination, what you imagine Portland and Seattle are like, that's what you expect to find. And you go there. And you get off the plane, and Diane Rehm is making public announcements. And public radio is piped in everywhere. And wherever you go, you only hear one song.
Color in sky,
that's it. That's what you hear. You think your life is going to be as beautiful as public radio and Donovan with putting flowers in your hair. That's what you think is going to happen. Well, then the darndest thing happens. They have traffic in Portland, Oregon. Did you know that? They actually have traffic. You weren't expecting that. And, your yoga class, it's not free. It isn't part of your city taxes. You still have to pay for yoga. And then you go to the supermarket, and some of the milk is normal milk. It's not all almond milk. Oh, my gosh. How could anyone live here? We imagined we were only going to get almond milk. Oh, and it goes on and on. The greatest problem in our culture, the greatest problem in our lives, is the distance between what we expect and what is true. And coming to accept what is true is either a spiritual, gradual process or an endless source of resentment and rebellion. It's also the difference between being 14 and being 24 and being 34, that over time we get to accept, not agree to, but at least accept reality. Now, we can find many positive ways to change reality. That's the goal. Gee, I don't like this. I think this is bad. Then change it. And there are positive ways to change it. One of the ways to change something is not by taking your truck and driving it over the sidewalk and smashing the display window. That's not one of the ways. There are many other ways. I always think about the fact that if I tried to do any of these things, driving the truck over into a department store window, grabbing the jewelry. If I tried any of that, me, you know, with my white privilege, I would be arrested, boom, instantly, instantly. That's what would happen. But in Portland, it's that incredible distance between the spiritual nature of the air, the great way the pine trees smell in Portland and in Seattle. Oh, it's beautiful. It's the Emerald City, Seattle, the Emerald City. It's not emerald. It's just a city. And Portland is not actually a city. That's not a real city. Seattle's a real city, but they don't have a real mayor. The heart of the problem, though, is the reason those people moved there was to find themselves. Anytime you have a population of people going somewhere to find themselves will live an endless life of disappointment.
Sky, and blue.
I'm Walter M. Sterling. I love being on the radio with you. The name of my show is Sterling on Sunday.
I really don't understand why anybody would continue losing their hair. Why continue losing your hair when there is Keeps.com? Keeps.com is a company that sells prescriptive medicine to stop and prevent hair loss. It slows it down and helps restore hair that's lost. That's amazing. You get it at Keeps.com, K-E-E-P-S.com. You will be put in touch with a real doctor. The doctor will analyze your situation and then come up with the right prescriptives for you. For me, he said, you need to take this pill, put the serum in your head, and shampoo with this product. That's it. It has started to make my hair feel fuller. It has slowed down my hair loss, and I suspect it might for you. Go to KEEPS.com, Keeps.com. Once you're there, you're going to say, I want this. And then you're going to want in the promo code Walter. The promo code Walter gives you 50% off. 50% off. What a great gift. It slows down hair loss, restores hair. Wow. Now, if you have a lover who's starting to lose his hair, this is the gift you want to give him. Why don't you just leave your website open? Just leave your laptop open to the website, keeps.com. Let him find it. You know, be clever about this. Let him find it. Go, whoa, this is really very interesting. And then say, you know what? Let me read that. And say, yeah, that is interesting. Would you like me to get it for you as a gift? Always make him think it's his idea. Keeps.com, K-E-E-P-S.com. Put in my name, Walter, for 50% off. I don't want you to lose any more hair. It's completely unnecessary. Science is our friend. Keeps.com.
You get no commercials.
Actually, you do, but not for a few more minutes. Back to Sterling on Sunday.
We had an astonishing conversation with the head of a local postal carriers union, a chief, a big guy. And I know him, and I know what he's telling is the truth. And he revealed to us that the postal workers, the postal carriers, the letter carriers, have been ordered to slow down the delivery of your mail. Have a listen. This is a big deal. Vice president of a local U.S. Postal Service carriers union. He's also the number one fan of Sterling on Sunday. I have known him for a long time. I know he is a family man. I know he's been with the Postal Service for many years. I also know he's incapable of lying. And he's about to share with us an amazing fact. And the fact is that the reason that Postal Service might be a little slower right now, what is that reason?
The reason is we're supervisors and managers are telling the letter carriers to delay the mail.
How exactly do they phrase that?
Don't take this today, take it tomorrow.
They'll look at a pile of mail and say, don't take this today, take it tomorrow, or one letter. I mean, how is this dynamic? What is this relationship like?
It's pretty, I mean, if I question it, a lot of the senior carriers are questioning it because we know it's the wrong thing to do. Our job is to deliver the mail. Management's job is to manage the mail. They can't even manage the mail because they're being told by higher ups that to leave the mail and do it tomorrow. And a lot of the decisions are being made because everything is micromanaged now. So it's really upsetting the letter carriers because if we see important mail or medicine, we're told to leave stuff behind and take it tomorrow because they don't have enough people or they don't want to pay the overtime or whatever else they think of to try to lie to the public. That's what they're doing.
Perishable medicine is being left on bins in the post office distribution points because you're being told don't deliver it.
Right.
And you know it's perishable medicine, don't you, by the way it's labeled?
It's labeled better. And you know it's medicine. You can shake it up, you can hear the medicine in it. And that was not like that ever before.
When did this start?
I would say right around the beginning of the pandemic is when it all started.
And let me get this clear. You are told by memo, by email, by a guy standing
verbally.
So they walk down the aisle of the distribution points one after another, region after region, and they say what?
Take what you have, grab and go, and come back at the end of the day and take that mail that was sitting there in the morning and sort that mail for the next delivery day.
How does that make you feel?
It angers me because it's delaying the mail, and it's against the law to delay the mail.
It's against federal law?
Federal law. We don't delay mail. But when we're told to do something, we have to follow our instructions by our supervisors and managers. And then once we are told that and they tell us that we can't take the mail, then the grievances will be filed, and then we go from that point on and we file either a class action grievance or it will be a national grievance with the head of the top union in Washington, D.C. They will file a national grievance against the Postal Service for delaying the mail.
Have the grievances been filed?
I don't think they've been filed yet because a lot of the issues now are getting the House is starting to, write to the Postal Service to do an investigation on the Postmaster General, why all this stuff is all of a sudden happening, that we're delaying the mail.
Would you say this is happening at all post offices or just a few?
It's happening nationwide.
Nationwide. And it's all because you are being directed to slow it down.
We are being told to slow it down, yes.
No other reason. My friend, that is the single most terrifying an astonishing thing I have heard in a long time.
And it's something that we take pride in, delivering the mail, knowing our customers. And you should get to know your letter carrier as a customer.
I do.
Most people don't know the letter carrier. It's right. I know my customers. I know who phones during the day. I know who gets medicine. I know who, when I put the mail through the mail slot, I know to rubber band it so 50 pieces of mail will go over the floor. And a senior person has to bend over and pick up 50 pieces of mail. I take care of my customers, and, I know my customers. And that's why, a lot of the senior mailmen, and I'm an instructor, so I like to teach the new letter carriers to do the same thing that the senior letter carriers do. That way it's passed on down the line.
I appreciate you being on Sterling on Sunday. This is an amazing piece of information. And I'm sorry that you and your colleagues have to go through that and walk 7 miles a day and do it in 100-degree heat and deal with the dogs.
Well, Walter, we're going to fight until we get what we're supposed to do every day. Our union is we fight for what is right and what we know is right, and we're going to fight the Postmaster General and the higher-ups in the Postal Service until we get it the way it's supposed to be. And I'll tell your listeners, if you have a problem not getting the mail or your mail is being delayed, write your congressmen and senators. Go on any website of there. They have letters that you can just sign your name.
Listen, there has to be something better than writing to my congressmen and senators. I mean, they're crooks. There's got to be something better. Can I, should I go to church and write a note to Jesus? I mean, that's insane. My congressmen and senators have never done a damn thing for me. Have they done anything for you?
Well, I have. They do support this stuff with the postal needs because if politics is money, so our higher up union gives certain people money, and that's how that works.
55 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling live. That's right, I'm live on Sunday night. That's the news. But that was my friend who's the head of a local letter carrier union. And he just told us that his men are told to delay the mail. It's not because they don't have enough overtime, like that idiot Nancy Pelosi says, we need to get more overtime. No, no. It's because they're being told to slow down the mail. Every post office in America, that's the news. And that's revealed here on, you know, that fluffy Sterling on Sunday show. Here's how I do this show. You want to know? I pay very close attention to what you and my friends are talking about, reading about, caring about, which is not anything theoretical. We care about hardcore stuff. Are my kids going to be safe in school? Is my wife going to leave me? Why is the service engine light still on in my car? Those are the things that we care about. And by the way, the service engine light in my car has never gone out. Never. And I pay close attention to that. And then I try to gather up information and opinions and entertainment and audio appropriate to these stories each week. And then I put them together in this spectacular buffet for you called Sterling on Sunday. We put it together for you every week. And then I roll it out for you. And we get to share it. And then you get to call in and share your opinion. And also we post it on Facebook, Walter M. Sterling of Facebook, Twitter feed, Walter M. Sterling. And you can send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. But no one uses email anymore, do they? They just don't. I put it together like that. That means that sometimes we find ourselves in the knee-deep and very serious conversation, which is what we just had. It also means that sometimes we could do 3 hours of hurricane coverage, which is pretty damn important. And other times we can talk about Meghan Markle. That, I got to tell you this, that mansion they bought in Santa Barbara, you know, where they were going to be anonymous, where no one was going to bother them. What I'm going to tell you, you won't believe. We'll talk about it more next week. They had to get a mortgage for it. They got a mortgage. Can you believe that? Prince William needed to get a mortgage. They went to like Citibank. The two of those clowns sat there and said, gee, we need to get a mortgage. You know, the greatest gift that you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.